with you. And today we are back to Psalms. And we are looking at Psalm 133 today. And which talks about Christian unity. Brothers dwelling in unity. You know, unity comes for two reasons. When we all hate same thing, or else when we all love same thing. But the Christian unity came because of the love of the Father. That's why it causes us to praise. The unity that comes because of hate causes bitterness. But the unity that is because of love causes praise. And the Psalm 133 is written by David. And this is a psalm of ascents. See, the song of ascents are from 120 to 134. These are the songs that are sung when pilgrims travel to Jerusalem for celebrating Israeli festivals, annual festivals. So, I'm reading from ESV version, Psalm 133. A song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's good and pleasant. Unity is good and pleasant. You know, the unity among brothers in Christianity is very important, critical. You know why? John chapter 17, Jesus Christ, the day before he was crucified, while praying to the Lord, you know what he said? Father, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they may be one as we are. The unity among brothers reflects the unity in the Godhead. That's why Paul, when he writes to Christians, again and again, he reminded Christians to be like-minded, same-minded. This is Hebrews. Pursue peace with all men. And 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 13. And that you esteem that very highly in love because of their work, live in peace with one another. And 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded. Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Again and again, he reminded Christians to be in peace, with unity. It is very important. But Christian unity is not created by us. It's created by God himself through Christ. We are only preserving. We are to preserve the Christian unity. So we have to pursue this unity. From this psalm we see David asking to behold the unity which is good and pleasant. We have to pursue this unity because God blesses this unity. In verse 3 he says, for the Lord has blessed this. The Lord has commanded this blessing. We have to pursue unity among brothers because God blesses unity. And we have three truths of Christian unity that we are going to see, which helps us to be blessed by God. Three truths about Christian unity. And the first one we see in verse 1. See, in verse 1 he says, behold how good and how pleasant it is. I don't know in your translations, but in original languages, it was mentioned two times. How good, how pleasant. See, David can have no words to explain the beauty of unity. So he's saying, how good and how pleasant it is. It's not something new for our culture also. Even we say, when we hear shairis, we say, kya baat hai, kya baat hai. It's beautiful. I don't have words to explain. It is beautiful. How good, how pleasant it is. The first truth about this Christian unity that will help us to be blessed is Christian unity is cherishable. I didn't find a word So my vocabulary bank is very little, so I made up a word. This is cherishable. You Christian unity is cherishable. How good, how pleasant it is. And good is not, we use good very vaguely. I remember first time when I met Pastor Chris, the question he asked, how are you? I said, I'm good, sir. No, you're not. I said, no, I am. No, only God is good. Okay, sorry, sir. I'm fine. Only God is good. And something that comes from God is good. Genesis chapter 1, everything that God has commanded came to existence and God said it is good. Christian unity is good because it is God who gives, who has given. And the second thing is the Christian unity is pleasant. It's like music, you know, pleasant music. It's pleasant, not just for us, for God. Christian unity is cherishable. This is the first truth. And we'll see two practical steps given by David from this verse that will help us to cherish in this Christian unity. And the first practical step we see in the first verse 1, he says, behold. Behold. You know this word behold? Behold means look, see. And especially to cause special attention, others use this word behold. If you read Old Testament, whenever the prophet wants to say something, he comes and says, hey, behold, thus says the Lord, to draw special attention. So David is asking for special attention. What? Behold, it is good and pleasant. You may be thinking it is painful, but it is good and pleasant. He is asking special attention. So he's telling, wake up from your false ideas. Unity is good and pleasant. That is the first practical step that we have to do. Wake up from your false ideas, thinking that unity is painful. Do you have this same idea that sharing, living together is painful? If we have that, we have to throw it right away, because Bible says it is good and pleasant. You know why we don't like to dwell together? Why it is hard for us to be united? Because we are prideful. A key issue is pride. We want everything according to our own preferences. I want this to be like this. I don't like Daryl to preach from manuscript. I don't want him to preach like this. I don't want Chase to be laid like this. I want it to be circle. So we find some reasons. This is my preference. We keep ourselves in the center. I want to be center of this world. That is why we don't like and we will not have peace. With the small preferences, we make differences. We break the unity. And that's why we say, unity is not good and pleasant. Because everything doesn't happen according to me. We have to throw this idea. We have to keep ourselves aside. Because we are not the center of the world. It is Christ who is the center of the world. We have to humble ourselves. Romans chapter 12 verse 16, it says, be of the same mind towards one another. And the suggestion he gives is, do not be haughty in mind. That is the key reason. Proverbs 13:10, pride only breeds quarrels. We have to wake up and put away pride. And we have to wake up from these false ideas and we should start humbling ourselves. That is the second practical step. Humble yourself. Humble and submit to one another. That is the practical step that will help us to cherish in this unity. You see that we see in verse 1. He says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Dwell together. Dwelling means settling down, living, making a family. The word marriage is also derived from this word. inhabit, settling down, making as a family, and brothers dwelling as a family. What makes a family family? Family has only one head, right? And they follow the rules, follow the authority of the father, the head. That is why family is a family. And church is a family. Who is the head of the church? Colossians 1:18. Christ is the head of the church. When we submit to one another, we submit to Christ, we submit to one another, we are a part of a family. And there, the unity will be cherishable. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. We have to throw away our pride. We have to humble ourselves and submit to Christ and submit to one another. When we submit to one another, our unity will be cherishable. These are the two practical steps that will help us today to cherish in the unity. And the second practical truth about Christian unity that will help us to be blessed by God is, we'll see in verse 2 and verse 3, first part of it. That's unity brings blessing. You see in verse 2, David starts by saying the unity is good and pleasant, and then he has no words to explain how good and pleasant it is, and then he wants to help us with illustration. So he says it is like precious oil. It is like a dew of Hermon. So he has no words, so he is giving illustrations. And that these two pictures, if you observe, there is one word that is repeating again and again. In verse 2, it says it's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, running down on the collar. And verse 3, it says, dew of Hermon falling down on the mounts of Zion, coming down, running down. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift coming down. Unity brings blessings. These two pictures, two illustrations David is giving is of blessings that has been received from the Father. You know, dew is also a sign of a blessing. Genesis chapter 27:8. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth. It's a blessing. Zechariah 8:12. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heaven shall give their dew. This is coming from the Father. This is the gift. This is the blessing. So this two illustrations are blessings. So unity brings blessings. This is the second truth about Christian unity that will help us to be blessed by God. And there are two illustrations, right? So there are two types of blessings we can see here. And the first one is precious oil. It is like precious oil on the head of Aaron. This precious oil is seen in the Old Testament. This is not Navaratna Tail oil. This is the precious holy oil. Exodus chapter 30. We can see about this in Exodus chapter 30. Verses from 22, God gives Moses instructions to make this precious oil. The Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. This is the combination. And you shall make of this a sacred anointing oil, blended as by of this a sacred anointing oil, the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of the meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and altar of incense and altar of burnt offerings with its utensils and the basin and its stand. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons with this oil. What is this oil doing? This oil is sanctifying all the utensils and consecrating Aaron. So this anointing is happening when Aaron and his sons are consecrated for the ministry, when they are sanctified, when they are separated, when they are elected for the ministry of God. So this precious oil sanctifies us. So when David is saying that this unity is like precious oil, he is telling that this unity sanctifies us. That's the blessing that we receive from this unity. Unity sanctifies us. Our unity is a sanctified fellowship. Our gatherings, our fellowships, men's meeting, women's meeting, Bible studies should sanctify one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, encourage one another. Colossians 3:16, same, encourage one another. All the one another commands that we see in the Bible are given so that we might sharpen one another, sanctify one another. I remember talking to one of my friends in the fellowship. He was so depressed because his manager is not actually helping. He is stopping him to be, promoted. So he is being a hurdle in his career. So he's so depressed and he wants to put down the papers or is thinking in those lines. And then normal discussion, I don't know why he brought out, he said it seems we work so that Christ might honor. We work to be faithful to Christ, not for the rewards. So that one word went into his mind that day. And then for few years, irrespective of the reward that he received from his manager, he continually submitted to his manager. And after a few years, the same manager, he has given him the highest ranking and kept him as a manager for this project. And then everyone, even in the team, said, it seems, you deserve, bro. You deserve. I don't know. There is something in you that has changed you from past few years, irrespective of the rewards you have been blessing. Even you were supposed to be the first one, even last year. You didn't receive, but you have been faithful for many years. And when he shared this testimony with the brothers, the other brother, who was also going through the same problem, he got encouraged. And then he shared, brother, thank you so much for sharing. It helped me. That's how our fellowships help one another. When we help one another with the word of God, it will help us to be more submitting to Christ and more honoring to Christ. Our fellowship should sharpen one another. That is why we have to gather. That is why there is no option. We have to gather. Hospitality is not an option. Bible studies or any gatherings is not an option. We are to meet. We have to encourage one another. Our fellowships are meant for sanctification. Pastor Ligon Duncan said, church is not a place for entertainment. It's for discipleship, sanctification. Our fellowships are meant for sanctification. And the second blessing that we receive from this Christian unity is that Christian unity is a generous fellowship or a sharing fellowship. We see that in verse 3, first part, it says, it is like dew of Hermon, which falls on the Mount of Zion. You know, this Mount Hermon is in the border of Israel and Syria now, and it is huge, 9,232 feet. I am not good at topography or geography. I just googled and then I'm sharing. So this Mount Hermon is huge, and it is the source for vegetation. From the dew of Hermon, Jordan, the river Jordan is filled, it seems. And then it is being a source of life for all the nearby areas. So Hermon, Mount Hermon's dew is being a blessing for the land which is near to it. That's why he is sharing that dew of Mount Hermon is falling down on Mount Zion. So the dew of Mount Hermon, Mount Hermon is sharing the dew to Mount Zion. So he is giving a picture of sharing. We have to think like Israeli when we read this, because this is written first to Israelites. And whenever they read this, whatever the picture that comes into their minds, we also have to think through those lines. So when they think of Mount Hermon, they think of dew that is being shared to the land. So the fellowship, Christian fellowship, is a sharing fellowship, generous fellowship. So he is giving a picture of sharing. We have to share. I don't need to share about sharing to you. You're all good. And not just finances. It includes help that we can give to one another in emotions. When someone is down, you can help them. Pray for them. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul says like this: "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we are afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted by the coming of Titus." You know, the fellowship with Titus has comforted Paul. Our fellowships should give us comfort. Jesus Christ himself, John chapter 20:19. "On the evening of the day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, when the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" When disciples are fearing, Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you." He comforted first. We have to comfort our brothers. And we have to seek comfort from our Lord and our brothers. Where do you take comfort? When you are down, when you are broken, where do you go? Is it entertainment? Just to forget what's happening in your life, or to your brother? It should be the fellowship which comforts us. We should share. And this third truth about Christian unity that leads us to be blessed by God is seen in the last part of verse 3. That's Christian unity is secure. We see in the last part of verse 3. It says, "For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." For there the Lord has commanded. See, there are many ideas for this, many interpretations. Who said that for, when he said for there, this there is connected to unity of brothers, or there is connected to Zion. But wherever it is connected, it is because of God. You know, unity of brothers is caused by God. And when Bible talks about Zion, Psalms especially, talks about Holy Hill, Jerusalem, the city of God, where Christ is going to reign. So both points to the God. Unity is secure for two reasons. Because first, the Lord has commanded. It is God who started it. Into the whole Bible, if you read, what is the greatest miracle that happened? That is Christ Jesus being human, right? So what is the point of gospel? Christ came so that he might bring us to Father. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, Christ suffered so that, Christ suffered unrighteous so that he might take us to the Father. He is going to come to take us to the Father's dwelling place. It is Christ who started. It is God who started. That's why it is secure. Throughout the scriptures, you can see, men tried to do many things. David himself, the psalmist, he said, Lord, I want to build you a house. What happened? Do we have the house of the Lord now? The temple that Solomon built? No. But the temple that Christ has built? Forever. We are the temple now. Whatever God starts, that will last. So we are secure. It is God who started it. It is Christ who started it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. He, the Father, predestined us for the adoption through Jesus Christ. Father predestined us. Galatians 3:16. In Christ Jesus, you all children of God through faith. It is God who started. And you know what? Romans chapter 15 verse 5 says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another. It is God who helps us to be a same minded. He created, he sustains. Ephesians 4:3. That was typo. It's Ephesians 4:3. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't create unity, we preserve the unity. Since it is God who started, since it is commanded by God, we have to take it seriously. Are you serious about the Christian unity? You take it seriously? Or else if you have problem with a brother, you just ignore and say, okay, I don't speak to this one brother, but I speak to the rest of the brothers in the church. Do you have this? You remember Jesus Christ while teaching disciples about the prayer? He said, if you don't forgive your brother, Father is not going to forgive you. It's very important. We have to take it seriously because it is God who started it. And the second reason that shows that Christian unity is secure is that the Lord has commanded the blessing forevermore. God is part of it. We are not going to be forever, right? Is anyone here going to stay forever? Nobody. Only God is. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16 says, God alone dwells in immortality. So when God gives a blessing which is life forevermore, he is also giving us life forevermore. He is giving eternal life to enjoy this blessing of unity. This unity is not just among ourselves. This unity with God. We are going to be united with God. We are going to dwell with God forever. God is part of it. God is part of it. God loves unity. You remember Jesus Christ when 72 returned from the ministry and then joyfully sharing, hey Lord, we were able to, you know, heal people, even demons obeyed us. And Jesus said, don't be joyful just for these things. Be joyful, rejoice. Rejoice knowing that your names are written in heaven. And he praises Lord. It says in Luke chapter 10 verse 21. At the very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. Jesus Christ is greatly rejoice knowing that our names are written in heaven, where Father is there and where we are going to dwell. Our unity caused Jesus Christ to praise God. God loves unity. So should we. We should love unity. We should preserve unity. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, Paul reminds, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all this, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The glue that unites us is love. The glue that unites us is love. We have to put on love. If you read New Testament, there is no Christian who is outside of church. Nobody. Those who are loved by God are loved by people also. They love people of God as well. If we are not a part of fellowship, we are not attached to Christ, the love of Christ. Disunity displeases God. Proverbs, if you read in Proverbs chapter 16, among the things that God hates, one of it is disunity. He hates those who creates divisions among brothers. Disunity displeases God, and God loves unity. So we have to pursue unity in the church. We have to preserve the unity that God has created, which will cause us to be blessed. Unity is cherishable, and unity brings blessing, and unity is safe and secure and permanent. We should pursue it. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much for your love which you have demonstrated on the cross, through which you have united us, Father. Thank you for your love that you have given for each one of us here, Lord, which you have poured into our hearts through the Spirit of God, Lord. I pray that we will put on this love and love one another. Lord, help us to realize that unity is cherishable. Help us to put away our pride, Lord. And help us to realize that unity brings blessing. Unity helps us to be sanctified. Helps us to submit to Christ more and more. Lord, I pray that we will preserve the unity which you have created. I also pray, Lord, that we will rejoice, be grateful to you, because this unity is you who created, and it is you who is going to sustain. I pray that we will take it seriously to preserve the unity, Lord. I submit myself and cornerstone into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.